I think you can do your harmonies if you like. Now, I'm joined in the studio by Jane Keane, and I'm also joined by Anita McCarthy, who are here to talk about a fantastic single they've got out at the moment. It's The Living Years, which was originally released, as you might remember, by Paul Carrack, who's got an amazing voice from Mike and the Mechanics. Now, St Francis Hospice are also involved in this, and there's a choir. It's got about 300 patients, family and staff members, and 18 hospices that are actually performing on the single, and they're hoping to get it to number one for Christmas, and also to raise awareness actually of the hospice movement. So thanks very much for coming in today.
You're welcome. Thank you for asking.
I thought you were going to do a la.
Unfortunately, I can't sing. Jane is the singer here.
I don't believe that. I thought we'll end it on a couple of harmonies, shall we, before we go to the single.
Oh, well, that would be lovely.
How did you actually become involved with St Francis Choir in the first place?
I joined because I had friends in the choir, and my father passed away in 2013, and my friends had been singing with the choir for a little while, and unfortunately, my dad didn't make it into St Francis Hospice. So there was for me, joining hospice was a way of making contribution to better and more end-of-life care. Mm. But in actual fact, the hospice choir is really good fun as well. So it ticked quite a few boxes for me, definitely. Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, when we do talk about the hospice here quite a bit, I've got personal experience, yourself as well, Jane, because of the amazing work they do. And it is, if somebody is, you know, at the end stage of life, you are so lucky if you get into the hospice. That's why we need to have more beds, more funding, because it's not until you need it that you realise how important it is.
I met Nurse Claire, who was at Queen's Hospital, and she was helping to deliver end-of-life training to nurses and doctors who work with patients. And Claire met my dad. So although we didn't get a hospice bed, he did receive some support from Claire, yeah, and some practical help with equipment. And as a family, we also benefited from some social work around the edges, as it were, yeah, with some of the areas that were a bit difficult for us as a family. So, yeah, the hospice, although we didn't get the bed, we got a lot of use of their services, and also they delivered palliative care to the care home where my father did eventually, yeah, pass away.
So, and it's the support they offer to the families as well. It isn't just the person who has the life-limiting illness, it's to the families with counselling and all sort of, and that can continue on as well, can't it?
Absolutely, there's no time limit on that. You know, we're there for people when they need us.
And how many beds have you got at St Francis itself?
Well, at the hospice there are 18 beds, but yeah, what people don't realise, that 85% of our care is actually provided in the community. Yeah. We have a whole range of services available at the hospice, but as I say, you know, we provide so much care in the community.
Yeah.
You know, our community nurses go out into people's homes, obviously into care homes as well, mm, and we have our hospice at home team that help people. You know, give people that option towards the end of their life, if they want to stay at home in the comfort of their home with their families, and ensure they have the support they need.
Mm. And a carers support group.
Absolutely. Yeah. We have a range of groups as well that, mm, are available, and other services as well.
Yeah.
So that really, you know, we're always trying to build on our services to ensure that, you know, if we see a gap and we can help. Earlier this year we set up, for example, a young adults group working with Jay's Hospice, another local hospice, because we saw a gap for younger people who are moving into, will need to move on to adult hospices, mm, to ensure, you know, to ensure the support's there. And also it was part of a social networking group for young people with life-limiting illnesses who don't have the sort of freedom, or, you know, it's not as easy for them to get out and about and to meet other people, and it can be quite isolating. Yeah. When they're in that situation.
So now, talking about the single, with Jane, did you go to a recording studio? Have you whisked into London?
Oh.
How did it work?
Cause after the invitation was issued, James and a lady called Claire sent through a little questionnaire, so we filled that in. And I also volunteered my grandson, Bailey Barnes, yep,
Oh, what a lovely name. Now, if I'd have had a son, do you know what? I never had kids. That was going to be his name, Bailey. That's okay. A lovely name.
Right, cool. Well, Bailey sings as well.
Hello, Bailey.
He's at school.
Yeah, oh, well.
You better be at school.
He can listen back to this. I'll say it again. Hi, Bailey.
So, myself and my grandson and a whole contingent of people from St. Francis Hospice went over to Kingston, along with 18 other choirs. There were about 360 people assembled in a very beautiful church. Yeah. And James sent us the music and he trained us up on all of the parts, all the voice parts. So first soprano, second soprano, first alto, second alto, the men, the tenors, the bass. And he rehearsed us in the church. And then we got an invitation to go to the really famous Abbey Road recording studios.
Yeah.
I wrote on the wall.
Oh, right.
I'm not sure if I should say that. I might have drawn the logo of the hospice yep. on the wall.
You didn't put like Jane Moore's ear, was it?
No. So, and that was so exciting. Everybody was very excited. Everybody wore their coloured T-shirts. We were videoed. And, yeah, we sat with headphones and James conducted us and the sound box were up there. It was an amazing experience. Priceless.
Mm.
And then lastly we recorded the video in the hospice of the St Trinity Hospice on Clapham Common.
Mm.
So the beautiful grounds, and we had drones fly over us and take aerial pictures. I think you might have seen them on the video. If you haven't, the video's out there to look at. So 3 days.
Mm.
Everybody gave up 3 days, three Saturdays to help make this record come about, and the video and supporting publicity.
Now this song was originally out, I think, in the 1991. Paul Carrick has got an amazing voice, and he's the lead singer with Mike and the Mechanics, and I believe that it was Mike, who's from Genesis, and I've forgotten his surname now, he wrote this about his father.
I'm wondering if it's Rutherford, but I'm not too sure.
That's it, Mike Rutherford. He wrote the song about his father and not getting a chance to resolve things. So it is one of those songs. When you listen to it, because the words are so fantastic, it does kind of bring, it makes you think about, you know, people fall out for a number of reasons. But when, and you probably do find, obviously you probably find this, Anita, when somebody becomes ill, all those things that you might have fallen out about, finances, or had a word with you, had an argument with this, but it means nothing. It means nothing, does it?
No, that's absolutely true. I think it's a very emotional song. Mm. Like the words are really poignant there. And, and I think they really hit home with a lot of people.
Yeah.
And yeah, you do meet people. And that's at that stage in their life. And you realise all the things we used to worry about, they weren't really important.
No.
They really become so insignificant.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely. It's a beautiful song. Now, the money raised will be going, being split between the hospices.
Yes.
But this is more about, hopefully we'll get to number one. There's a couple of bits of competition. We kick those out of the way. We're hoping to get it to number one. And it's really to raise awareness, because sometimes, as we've said before, when you've been into the studio, Anita, that people don't like to, we don't like to think about we're going to die. Everybody thinks, well, I'm going to be the exception to the rule. I will obviously continue on forever. And people don't like to kind of think about hospices or talk about death, and you know, and the reality is it is going to happen to everybody. It is going to happen. And if you do have a chance, as I said to you before, with my sister passed away at St. Francis, looked after, incredible team there. And as I said, it's not until you need the hospice you realise what a fantastic job. I mean, she had the drinks trolley was coming round. I remember ringing her up saying, what's that noise? And she was having a Baileys.
Yes.
You know, the people that gave up their time to do the reflexology, the nurses that were there 24/7 looking up, the family were looked after, my nieces were looked after, from talking to the bereavement counsellors, and she was looked after. She wasn't in pain, she wasn't frightened, and it was a great team. And that was actually physically at the hospice.
Yes.
You know,
I think we do appreciate that when people come to us, it's the most difficult time in their lives, and it's a time everybody's scared and it's hard, and we are working really hard to just raise awareness and try and break down those fears, to let people know that, you know, you never want to be in the position where you really have to be going to a hospice, but if you are and you need that service, it will make a huge difference to your end of life care experience.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, a really wonderful part of our care is supporting the families, because we appreciate, you know, when somebody's unwell, it affects the whole family.
Yes.
And we can, you know, relieve some of the stress and the burdens, and, you know, it's very, very difficult for the family too. So we're there for everybody. and just to, you know, like you mentioned about drinks trolleys, become very famous at the hospice.
Yeah.
And it's just, and touches a home comfort, and there's wonderful random things that can happen at the hospice, you know, where people bring in their pet, you know, just things that really matter to people and that make things special for them.
And it is taking back control, because sometimes when you've got a life-limiting illness, you feel out of control. So when you're dealing with somebody who's not very well, sometimes you'll find that they're quite snappy and move that there and do that there, because you lose that control. If you physically can't do it yourself, sometimes people, when they're not well, they can be really snappy. But to give them, you know, being at the hospice, they've got that control back over what is happening to them.
Absolutely. Treating people as an individual is what it's all about. And just having that time to make sure we're, you know, doing exactly what people want us, you know, help us in the way that they need us to help them.
Yeah. Absolutely. Now, I'm very jealous with Jane, because you can now say, I've recorded Abbey Road.
I
can't say that. That's got to come out at every dinner conversation and any singing that you do.
Yeah, it was an amazing experience. But it's just nice to know that in that way you've kind of helped a cause as well, which was really foremost at the front of our minds when we were singing.
Yeah.
So as much as it was good fun, there was a really serious point to it. So we would really like to make Christmas number one.
Not
for our individual gratification, but because it is a super cause.
Yeah.
7.3 million of funding needed to keep the hospice going every single year.
Yeah.
And a growing need to be met.
Yeah.
So, number one, Christmas.
Number one. Where can people get hold of it? Is it on iTunes? Got all the details?
You can stream it on Spotify and also on Amazon.
Yeah.
Amazon at the moment. The video is available, say, online. So it's available for download. Amazon,
only 99p.
Only 99p.
Yeah.
And it will be released as a pre-order now. Get your, you know, get that in there. And then on the 16th of December, it will be released and we'll hopefully climb the charts, storm the charts.
And it is on the... I'll be more jealous if you say it's gone to number one, Jane. You won't be able to come back in here again.
Well,
number one, and she's recorded Abbey Road. So the song is... It's the London Hospices is the name of the collective artist, and it is the Living Years. Paul Carrick is doing the lead, and all of the choir is made up between 18 different hospices and friends, family, and everybody down at Abbey Road.
Patients.
Yeah.
Patients as well. So, yeah, an absolutely amazing intergenerational choir, all having a fantastic
time. Hugely uplifting, isn't it?
It's a beautiful song, and the video is very, very touching.
Yeah. Now, if you want to follow the hospice on Twitter as well, let me just get the details. Why did I manage to get this wrong? You know what it is, Anita. Go on, because I'll get my letters around the wrong way for some reason. If I want to follow you on Twitter, it is. Oh, I've got it here. S for Sugar, F for Freddy, H for Hotel UK. And it's the London Choir. If you have a look at hospices for Xmas number one, you'll find details there on Twitter too. It is on our A-list here at Phoenix FM, so we're playing it out all the time on all of the shows. And if you do want to get a copy of it, you can either go to our website, which is allthewsphoenixfm.com, and there's links there. Otherwise, go to St Francis Hospice website and you'll be able to get the links from there.
Yes.
Excellent.
It's all on there. It's all on our website. It's on Twitter. So it should be easy to find.
Are you singing on it? Did you get to go, Anita?
No.
Did they not let you go?
No, I didn't make the grade. No.
Jane smiled. Did they just say to you, did you turn up with your T-shirt and said, I'm sorry?
I said, please let me in. And they said, no.
No.
It wasn't cool enough for Abbey Road, no.
We were just saying, actually, it would be lovely for Anita to come and join us.
Yeah.
I would love to. Yeah. It is a secret fantasy.
Yeah. We actually rehearse on a Tuesday evening with John Morris. And John Morris has taken the choir since its conception. He's an absolutely diamond geezer, as they say.
Yeah.
And he puts on a fundraising event as well up at different churches and for the hospice. So I think over 25 years of solid support from John Morris. So I think I'll mention that if I may.
Yay! Right, thank you very much, ladies, for coming in today.
You,
I hope that you do get to number one. As I said, it's to spread the word of hospices and the incredible work they do. So if you've got 99 pence, which everybody has, dip your hands in your pocket, get onto iTunes, get onto Amazon and get this ordered. So here are the London Hospices with The Living Years. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Every generation blames the one before, and all of their frustration come beating on your door. I know that I'm a prisoner to all my father held so dear. I know that I'm a hostage to all his hopes and fears. Wish I could have told him in the living. Crumpled bits of paper filled with imperfect thoughts, still to conversation. I'm afraid that's all we've got. You say you just don't see it. You say there's perfect sense. You just can't get agreement in this present tense. We all talk a different language, talking in defense. Say.